All right, it's that time. It's time for Beyond Sight and Sound. Let's do this.
S&W Shooters and Prospectors. What is S&W Shooters and Prospectors?
We at S&W Shooters and Prospectors help people find treasure.
Did you say treasure?
Yes, treasure. Just listen to this amazing review from our happy customer, Jackie Sparrow.
Chocolate ship shape and a pleasure to deal with. I was able to buy everything that I needed at prices that were shillings less than others. I found my 9 pieces of eight in no time. Savvy?
I know you're asking yourself, why should I shop at S&W Shooter and Prospectors?
Chuck Smalley has over 45 years of metal detecting experience. He works with each customer one-on-one to customize their setup to match their skill level.
So if you always dreamt of being a pirate,
contact
Chuck at S&W Shooters and Prospectors, and he'll take a great deal for you.
Eyepatch and rum not included.
Caution. Please do not operate motor vehicles or power equipment while under the influence of this show. Listening to this show could cause side effects such as bouts of laughter, violent binges of cabin fever, and even dreams of silver and gold. Please be advised. Now that the fine print is out of the way, on with the show.
All right, we're back. We're live. And it looks like everything is working as it's supposed to be.
Hell.
Good. So we'll get Chuck on in here too and get this thing rolling here. Looks like the chat's starting to pick up a little bit.
Oh, yeah. We got the houses packing here. We got Janet.
So how's it going, Chuck?
It's going good. Hey, Bills. How y'all doing? Tom Sheckler. We got Toms and Bills. And oh, my goodness. There's a good crowd coming in the house. Looks like Ohio was getting some storms by some of the comments. Yeah. Hey, Tam, how you doing? Mark.
Yeah.
Yes. Mark Watrous. So no, it's going good. It's going good. I haven't got out detecting over the past few days, been a little busy and not going to make it out this weekend, but I'll get back out and get going here. Right now, we shipped off all the severe weather, but, Sunday night freeze warnings here in the 20s. But that'll go away quick.
Wow.
So, but.
And where did you ship this severe weather off to, just out of curiosity?
Due east, up into Indiana to begin with. I don't know if it slipped through you guys or went around you, but I'm seeing the bill talking about storms in that area tonight, which I hope they aren't as intense as what we had around us. I don't know if anybody saw my go live. I know a few of them did. They're going, oh, sure, stand. No. They activated all the weather spotters, and we're weather spotters. We did not have to go far to spot it. It was coming our way.
Right. Kind of walked out and went, oh, yep, there it is.
There it is.
Spotted it.
Yep. And there was 1, 2, 3, 4 confirmed tornadoes, 3 of which hit the ground. 1 stayed on the ground quite a ways and did some pretty heavy-duty damage out south and a little west of us down in Iowa, Helwerk. And, yeah, the sirens were blazing, let me tell you.
So where this tornado touched down, was that a fairly populated area or mainly
farmland? No, the little burg it hit, it did a lot of damage, and the kids left school with the teachers, busloads, and went out and helped clean up and salvage and that around the outlying areas in edge of town.
Well, it is nice to see everybody pull together like that to help clean up after a mess like that.
Well, that's what it takes. You see that out in the country, you know, what happens, there's going to be a lot of people coming to your aid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jason, definitely appreciated by the residents.
That's right. It takes a village once in a while. Jason says they're getting hail in the morning tomorrow around in Kansas. And I think Kansas gets it about every other day.
Right. We got it this afternoon. Yeah. We had hail.
Yep. Yep. Chris is in it. Yeah, it's filling up now. Yeah, the weather kind of dictates, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely it does.
It does.
Unfortunately.
But we've been our asparagus is up good. Picked a couple pounds.
There you go.
Yeah. We like that. Yeah. And Janet, it's been windy here all day too. About 60 degrees. It wasn't like it dropped down in the 30s and 40s, but just some drizzle off and on. And now the sun's out, it's cleared off. So, and then.
Well, and that rain is cold. And then with the wind on top of it.
So basically it was getting some work done around here and packing up. I'm headed for Indianapolis for a few days and not detecting. Working on going with some of my fire crew out. We're going to FDIC in Indianapolis, along with about 25 to 30 other thousand firemen and women. So
you chipped all of this bad weather off to Indiana, and now you're going to go visit it.
Yep. Yep. And it probably made its way kind of into central Ohio a little bit, too.
Yeah, I would think it's here. Like I said, we had hail with the storm that blew through earlier, and unfortunately, we had enough wind that it blew a semi right off the road.
That happened out here too last night and shut down eastbound lane of 80. They were backed up for miles because it swung around and put it directly across the road with the back end hanging over the fence, and it just shut it down.
Yep. Down East Prospecting in chat. Welcome aboard, Bob.
Pam, is it Pamela? How you doing? Pamela Jensen. Got a good crew there.
Oh, yeah, there. Got.
Hey, I want everybody to pay attention. If you're looking to move up to a Manticore or 900.
I was going to mention that post.
Yep. The 70 or 25th anniversary of Mine Lab is this coming weekend. And it only runs to May 15th, I believe. The specials on these. You'll get a You'll get a real good price, and I got them in stock. I went ahead and ordered stuff in for this, and we'll see how we do. And now's the time. Give me a call. You can get. I can't announce the pricing till tomorrow, but so, a major discount on both.
So you've got 900s and manicores in stock.
Now, don't ask me for the 8-inch coil. That's been a tough one. I can get you the 15, but the 8-inch, we'll take a back.
Ain't happening.
Yep.
Can't do the 8-inch, but we can get pretty much everything else, I guess.
Right. So, yep, I'm right in the middle of it with all the rest of them. And kudos to Ronnie DeGhetto out of Gold Digger. Now, he is not retiring 100%.
Right. He's semi-retired.
Semi-retired. He cleaved off Detecting Adventures. And now he's just going to go under the Gold Digger logo and sell detectors and those accessories. And another firm bought that portion.
Detecting Adventures.
Yeah, out. They bought him up. But that will help him out a lot with freeing up some time. Because he wants.
It'll free up some time for him to detect or spend with the family or whatever.
Right. He wants to get out and about. He wants to spend more time with the grandkids. I don't blame him. Because I'll tell you what, he's a busy guy, busier than me, and he doesn't get out. I get out. Congrats to our buddy Ronnie DeGhetto at Gold Diggers. Alan's in the house. Mr. Landau. I should be seeing Alan here in a week. No, what is it? 1 month?
Oh, DTH.
DTH. Got to put a plug in for DTH, and I just got some more prizes in. And some other stuff through S&W, by the way. And it'll be a good hunt.
Hey, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that.
Right.
So. And I believe, I want to say, Ronnie, they made the announcement Monday that Ronnie was stepping away from the Detect America show. He was semi-retiring. And
he's slowing down on the extracurricular stuff.
Right.
Yep. On the business.
And even though he will be missed on the show, we do wish him the absolute best of luck.
Right. 100%. 100%.
Absolutely.
He is one of what we used to call the Mine Lab Mafia. We were some of the earliest dealers in the country. There's a whole group of us, and we would go to the yearly conferences with Mine Lab and moving through, and good group of people. And Ronnie's one of us. And there's we've been with them a long time in the U.S.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've got almost, I can't say 20 years, 19 plus years with Mine Lab equipment. I spent a 10-year period running around for them, so it was good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I want to say, you know, that was clear back in the day when the conferences were out in Vegas. It's been years and years since I've heard of a conference in Vegas for them.
Oh yeah. The last one near Vegas was actually in Phoenix. And I don't know. I think I went out to 4 conferences in Vegas.
Yeah, there for a while, it seemed a regular thing.
When I started, Josh, the company was based in Vegas. There was no Chicago office. There was no. Went to the first conference, and I think there were 18 of us there, maybe 15, wow. 18.
Big conference.
Yep. And then it grew from there.
Yeah. And boy, always did it grow.
Detectors. They've always put out good machines and they've grown now and worldwide, bigger and bigger and bigger and more outlets. It's been doing good. I mean, they still make a high quality machine. And they set the bar high for the others to catch up. End of story.
Oh yeah. Simultaneous multi-frequency period was the game changer. And like you said, they set the bar high for that. It took a number of manufacturers years to catch up.
And in some cases, they never did.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. And in that situation, it's debatable whether or not they did.
That's right.
Because that's always a hotly debated topic, you know, Ford versus GM kind of thing.
Yep.
But they do make some good machines, and with that competition, that has brought on major benefits in the field for the end user. Yeah. And Nokta has been doing their share of setting the bar, especially the last couple of years, which for those that use the Legend, they do have the new update out that has the beast mode or boost mode, whatever, whichever you want to call it.
They call it the beast mode, and I shared her live on that, and then some other explanations of the beast mode and a video using it and some confusion in it, but they'll get that straight away. They'll get that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And people have to remember that the release that is out there that is available now, that update, that's the beta version. So that's not going to be, or it could be, the final release of that. Basically, that's giving, it's a way, doing a beta version, it's a way for the company to get the update to the masses and reach a larger group of people to gain information as quickly as possible on the program rather than just sending it out to the testers. So that's a nice thing. We've seen Nokta do that with their last update for the Legend, and it should be a good thing. I mean, this is the first time that we have seen this feature brought back since the Amphibio Multi, I believe.
Right. No, it's going to be interesting to hear what people have to say about it once they get it in there and figure it out. And it's simple to do. It isn't any rocket science, but they need to follow through with it.
Yeah, and definitely take the time to read the directions. I know in the past, some people have had issues updating to the new version.
Right.
I never really had any trouble with it, but it seemed like once people started uninstalling the update utility and reinstalling the new update utility and then running the update, a lot of those issues went to the wayside.
Correct.
So that's something they're going to want to keep in mind too.
I've done one. We just talked about a customer brought one in. We sat down and did it, and it's quick and it's not difficult.
Oh no. These updates that Nokta puts together, they're very user-friendly. I mean, you pretty much just plug it in, follow the on-screen instructions the whole way, and before you know it, you're done. You're out of there. The update takes less than 5-10 minutes.
Correct. Doesn't take long at all. Just for me to feel my way through it a little bit on the computer was a little slow, but the update, bing, bang, it's over with.
Right, right. And once you've been through it, you know, you have another customer come in, you've already been through it, you know what to expect, bing, bang, boom, you're done.
Right. Oh, Phil made in the house.
Ah. I keep watching Welcome to Phil, but I keep watching to see if Scott made it in, because I don't know if you heard about all of the happenings that went on Sunday night. But Sunday night, and I guess apologies to Scott for that once again, Sunday night, there was a cat that jumped up onto the laptop, and next thing you know, all of Scott's comments are gone from Sunday night. I don't know what the cat hit, but the cat did a job. So tonight, the cat is in feline jail for the duration of the show.
Oh, well, interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it almost sounds like a tale, but I mean, this stuff's too strange to make up, and many people can remember back.
Are so weird, you can't make it up.
Right. And some people may remember years back, Detect America had an episode one afternoon where Sonny, Frank's cat, jumped up on the laptop and triggered it to do a show, and then laid down on the laptop and went to sleep. So all people saw for about 3.5 hours was a black screen and purring until Frank got it taken care of.
I love it.
Yeah, so it definitely happens.
ORH mentioned that's probably where Chick's balloons, and he changed it to Chuck's balloons, come from.
Yeah, I don't know. It's possible. Yeah,
it's possible. The cat was going, we'll get rid of this guy. We'll just flood him with balloons.
Right. Apparently the cat knows how to use administrative power.
Right. Oh, I see Celeste is in the house.
That's cool. Welcome to Celeste.
Holy cross. Cool.
So after profusely apologizing to Scott, I did tell him, you know, I couldn't find any of his comments. So I did tell him, let me know if he has any issues getting into the chat or leaving a comment, anything like that. I'll look into it and see if somehow or another the cat managed to block the account so that I can try to fix things.
Oh, golly.
Yeah. As if there wasn't enough to do, I got that dropped into my lap.
Well, okay, for the new people in tonight, let's see, who all won last week? It was
Ian, Phil, and Janet,
excuse me. Well, Shannon won because of Phil.
That was right. Yeah, Shannon won if she beat him to the mailbox.
Phil ever got it or not? Yeah. And I have not gotten Ian's address yet.
Oh, you didn't? I messaged it to you Sunday night.
Well, I'll go back and look. Maybe the cat had further ranging implications.
Yeah, that makes me wonder. No, it's showing in my message history anyway.
Okay, we'll have to check. Sorry about that.
I'll put it that way. If yes.
Okay. That may be why.
Because I just flipped over to the other screen and looked, and it's right there above the link I sent you tonight. Okay. So Okay. At least it's showing up there anyway. If it's not there when you look, shoot me a message and I'll resend it.
They want to know if you're going to put the cat on as a new admin.
Oh, I thought about it, but, you know, then we got to get her a YouTube account and her own laptop. And then all of that aside, she's probably going to want compensated in cat treats, and I just can't afford all that.
Well, with the treats, you got to have more litter.
Yeah, see, it's a snowball effect.
Keeps growing. Yep.
Yeah, we just, well, I don't think we can deal with all that.
They're trickling in, Josh.
Yep. And I had not dropped a link. That's another reason why the chat was kind of light out of the gate. But we see that Mike Laquamette has joined in, and he was also one of the prize donors, along with yourself, the giveaway.
Yes, he was.
And the way it sounds,
he's the one that's kind of spearheaded that to a bigger happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it was a good time.
Yeah, it was.
The people that won had fun with it.
That's right.
And we did get to hear about some finds that were made. I mean, Lauren made some, she did really well hitting that shield nickel.
Yeah.
She didn't post it in the Beyond Sight and Sound group. So.
Oh.
What do you do? Better luck for the next contest, maybe.
Right. Right.
And Kevin Barkley.
Barks a lot.
Yep. Barks a lot on YouTube. Barks Metal Detecting Bits, I think, or something like that. He did post up that seated quarter that he found in the Beyond Sight and Sound group. Oh, boy, that thing looks phenomenal.
Yeah, good CC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice strike. He should definitely be proud of that one. And I know we had talked Sunday afternoon about that. And I'm trying to remember now, that's probably, what, $150 coin?
Easily. I would say so, yeah.
I mean, it's got enough detail. It would not surprise me. That thing looks to be in beautiful condition. He should be very happy.
It's worth it. Yeah.
Yeah, got to dig them repeatable signals, because I'll guarantee you that was not what he expected to find in that plug.
Right. No. But he was tickled. Had a nice piece. But I see silver and gold still bouncing around, but there's some resistance at that $30 range on silver. It gets up, just kind of knock on the door around 29 and drops back. In the same way with 2400 on gold, it's just bouncing around in there.
Well, I can understand the resistance part because I see it get up around there and I'm going, no, but I don't want to buy.
No. This is where you sell if you can.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
It would definitely be nice. I mean, people are getting a good price for their items too, as far as their gold and silver, whether it's silver coins that they've dug, silver jewelry, scrap gold, whatever.
There was when I was set up at the coin show in Milan, Illinois, there a week or so ago, there was a lot of trade going on, a lot of stuff coming in.
Oh, I bet there was
a lot. It was busy. One of our club members was there, and he was wheeling and dealing. He comes specifically just to shop and trade, and he was doing pretty good with the stuff he had. He likes to move up in grade and quality on some coins that you know, silver dollars and things like that. And he said, he thought he made out pretty good for what he had against what he got.
Hey, you can't fault a guy for that.
Nope. So the coin and silver and gold market are moving. And
yes, they are.
So if you got some old gold rings that you found and you don't have any ties to them or nobody else does, my personal recommendation,
Midwest Refineries.
Yep. Sell it.
I can't say for sure, but I think there's still a link in the description for Midwest Refineries.
Yes, there is. And Chris Gibson's asking, question for anyone, what are the best sites to sell gold, silver, Doug coins, quality coins? Doug coins, I'll tell you what, private collectors, that kind of stuff, it all depends upon the condition. If they're really banged up in that, scrap melt, MidwestRefineries.com is a good one.
Exactly.
Quality coins, marketability. If you've got some really nice coins that are wanted, then you go start checking with some dealers, advertise it out amongst collectors, and see what you can come up with. And Alan goes, where do you live, Chris? He's got places over Chicago.
Right? Yep, I figured that would get Alan's attention.
Yeah. And there's collectors that Frank's talking about buy, sell, and trade on Detect America.
Yeah, the Detect America buy, sell, trade group. I mean, I know Frank's coins move pretty fast on there. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing. Some of the items he had to sell, he actually went and switched from a flat price sale to a auction format post.
Okay.
And it sounds like it did pretty well for him. I mean, which I've been mentioning it off and on for a while now, that one of these nights there may be an auction format live stream, just to get rid of a few, maybe historical items of interest. It may not necessarily be coins, could be collectible items. Especially if people are into railroad memorabilia.
Now, I've got a couple dealers, Chris, in the Quad City area. I'm going to throw their names out. Quad City Coin in Bettendorf, Iowa. I've dealt with him. I bought from him for hunts and stuff in the past.
For a number of years.
Number of years, off and on. Then they've got a new one, and it's Rock River Coins in Silvis, Illinois. And that would be hour 45 minutes for you from Walnut, buddy. They're good. They're reputable. They're the two best, I think, in the Quad City area. So.
Right. And as far as the jewelry goes, if you're just scrapping it, you're probably not going to get a better deal than what you are going to get by going with Midwest Refineries. They have some of the highest payout rates. And if I remember right, they even have no problem in paying you in gold or silver if you so choose.
Correct. When I sell raw gold, it goes to Midwest Refineries. Coinage, I've got no problem. Right now I'm considering, I've got about 700 dimes that I'll cut loose of. They're late date Mercs, Rosies, so on and so forth.
I know what you mean. I've been kicking that idea around myself. I got a couple hundred Mercs that I may get off of at that price.
Chris, the other one is Rock River Coins, Silvis, Illinois. I've only been in there once, but the people running it through the week, and it's open all week long, not by appointment only. The son took over the business. His dad had passed away at Quad City Coins, so they're trying to get that all balanced out. But Rock River Coins in Silvis, the couple that is there all week running it had a great shop in downtown Moline and sold out to another guy called, used to be Jubilee Coin. And I just had him go through at that. He was set up at the gold coins. I wanted him to price for me. He told me what he put them out at, and he priced them.
Nice. There, Ian is in the chat, and there is a name I am definitely glad to see. Scott is in the chat. So, close call there. I may have to make Scott a moderator too, so that hopefully that doesn't happen again.
Oh, I love it. Ian, I'll get your stuff in the mail. Sorry, I haven't had time. And tomorrow I'm on the road at 5 a.m. I'll be back Saturday. It'll go out in the mail. I got a couple silvers sitting right here for you. Been busy.
Nice. I know he certainly was glad to hear that he won the honorable mentions.
Yeah.
And he was definitely glad that we were willing to work with him on that and, you know, not make him answer up in the chat since he was driving.
Yep. Well, at least the cat didn't attack him.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, Ian won some silver and... And Scott got a stalker, apparently. That
sounds like it. That's funny.
Kicked him out of the chat. I don't know. That had me sweating it. Because I'm like, oh, great. I can't even begin to guess what buttons she hit or what she did, what sort of damage she did. I'm going to have to give it a couple of days and see. That's why I messaged Scott and said, hey, if you can't get in the chat and make a comment, let me know. I will get it fixed. I apologize once again.
If we need moderate, or if they need moderators, they've got a couple little dogs with bad attitude at Frank's.
Oh, yeah, I hear them, too. Monday when they were on, there must have been something going on outside because his dogs were starting to carry on. And yeah, I'll bet they could whip things into shape. They sounded, well, to me, they sounded like they had little dog syndrome, you know, 10 foot tall and bulletproof.
Oh yeah. Chihuahua Hawas.
Yeah.
Chihuahua, man. She thought she was the biggest kid on the block.
Oh yeah, they don't back down from any
differentiation. Not a
bit. Don't back down.
No, they don't. So, but you know, I hope you all realize if you're trading coin silver, U.S. coin, you know, if you're looking at spot, and let's say it's $25. So let's look at a dime for $2.50, right? No. Take 10% off because your coin of the constitutional coin is 90% silver. So if you're selling it at a scrap rate, take another quarter off that and you'll get close.
And if you're taking it to a dealer, don't expect to get spot for it to begin with because they have to make their money too.
That's right. And so if you're a long-term customer with some of these guys, you'll get a little better deal. Don't go to the corner place with the banner out saying we sell coins and it's a tire shop or we buy gold. Yeah. So go to reputable dealers. Go to people that you know you can trust, and you'll do all right.
Right. And if you have a good condition coin, you know, where you're talking numismatic value, I mean, I get it. Some people, dealer, you know, we get hard up for money and we have to let it go. But if at all possible, you don't want to let it go to the dealer. You're going to make more selling that outright to a fellow collector.
And if you're patient, you can do it and go to an auction site. You might do better than that.
But remember, yeah.
There's fees on auction sites. There's fees on eBay.
Yeah. Listing fees, closing fees. Not to mention, once they pay you through PayPal, you've got fees there.
So,
I mean, everybody's got their hand out.
Hell yeah. And some get more than you end up getting because they were there helping you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately. But there's plenty of us that have stuff sitting around that, you know, no attachment to, or their parts and pieces of what they once were.
Yep.
I mean, that's money. Take it off the shelf, send it in. Now, granted, some of that, it may take a while before you can do anything. I mean, you'd have to have a tote full of earring backs to do anything.
That's no joke.
Of course, then again, you were digging up enough of them, you'd maybe getting close. I don't know.
Yeah. Just not enough of them to make a gram. Good golly. By the way, gold's at about $70 a gram on the 24 karat side. That's another thing you need to understand.
Right. If
you have 14 karat gold ring, you're around 53% gold. If you have 18 karat, you're at 75%. And then if you get to 20, 22, it goes up higher, but if you drop down to 10 karat and English 9 karat
or 9, yeah.
Yep. 30 percentile and less. So there's a lot of people that think that they've got a 5 gram gold ring and it ends up being 14 karat. Let's just slice that in half, 2.5 grams. So at $70 a gram.
Right. Now your $350 ring's 100 and a quarter.
Yeah. And then they're going to take
or less.
If you go to Smelters, they take 10%. If you go to a coin dealer who's buying and trading and selling scrap gold, they're going to take 20% at least because he's got to make 10%. So
right.
All that comes down the line. You got to shop around. Your best bet sometimes, believe it or not, I've seen it, pawn shop.
Yeah.
Gold rings and that kind of stuff. Sometimes they'll reach a little bit if it's a nice piece.
If it's a nice piece.
Other times there's plenty of them around. You can shop them, get your best price. You can call around on scrap silver and gold and see what they're giving at shops. Get in the phone book, start looking, call them up.
And if they are jewelry items that you're planning to scrap, if they have nice stones in them, you may want to pull the stones.
Yeah. And the reason why they tell you the stones aren't worth nothing, don't pop them out of there and get a correct weight. The stones out. Don't let them pop nothing out until you've made an agreement.
Yeah, absolutely. So I figured I better make sure and mention that since we were on the topic, because a lot of people don't give that a thought.
No. And they take those small diamonds, you know, the little ones I'm talking that just above there are 1 point, a cut on them or maybe two. They only get a couple bucks a point. They send it in too for those.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Kendall, how you doing? Kendall made her on the house tonight.
Hey. Yeah. All right. Yeah, there he is. Well, welcome aboard. Not bad for not dropping a link.
Man, John's in the house. You want? Eesh, I made it. Romoska. Yeah. We got the boys from Chicago in the house.
Oh, yeah. I had, somebody had found the post that I did with the flyer for the DigFest from the IMDA.
Mm-hmm.
And they had asked me, they're like, well, this sounds like that's a pretty interesting event, but do you have to be a club member? No, you do not. And that's what I made sure to mention to them. Told them, said, you know, I'd register as soon as I could, get your registration in, get your registration fee paid, and go have a good time. You won't regret it.
Campbell's reporting the best find of the day I've seen. He got about 3 pounds of morels.
Wow, good job.
Yeah.
Man.
3-4 pounds of those beats any mercury dime other than a 16D. 2 years ago, we had that. It was really dry in the spring. They were getting $26 to $28 a pound.
Oh, yeah.
And then it jumped up toward the end to $40. And they were getting it because the local restaurants want that morel mushroom. White County, Janet. She asked me what county. Whiteside, Rock Island County.
I had somebody ask me the other day because we do a lot of composting, work it back into the garden. And they saw that I had 2 composters out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they were curious how a tumbling composter would work. Does it work very well? Doesn't it work very well? And I'm explaining to them the benefits of a tumbling composter over a traditional bin. And I told him, I said, well, come over here and look at this. I'll pull the lid off this tumbling composter so you can see how rich the dirt is that's in it. I pulled the lid off there and they looked in there and, huh, you know you're growing mushrooms? No.
That's cool. Looked
in there, sure enough, there's mushrooms in the tumbling composter.
We had the right stuff there then.
Apparently.
And another thing, if you guys hunt your mushrooms, you bring them in, you soak them in. I always use a little salt in the water, bugs and that, get it out of there.
Yeah, that's a good, safe way to do it.
Then take that water and go to a particular area and dump it. More than once, I've went back there within a week and had a half a dozen mushrooms up.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll pop right back up, so...
Absolutely.
Just rinse her down the sink. The spores are in there and they're ready to go.
Just don't tell anybody where you dumped that water if it's morels. Because I'll tell you what, people think detectorists can be guarded about their sites.
Oh.
Morel hunters and ginseng hunters. Man, they make us detectorists look like kids play.
Yep.
They're really guarded.
Literally gunfighting mode there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, once you've fell into a patch of morels, you know, you bring them home and you throw a good steak or rack of ribs or something on the smoker, you get some of them morels done up, good.
Yep.
That's good eating. And I know you know what I'm talking about. So does Ohio Relic Hunter. He's a cooking fool the past year or so as far as outdoor cooking. He loves his smoker.
I like mine too.
Oh, yeah. Yep, we definitely enjoy the one we've got too.
Well, with the wind and the rain today, the wife decided to make chili.
Yeah. Chili would be a good a good fallback for a day like today, and sure. It definitely wasn't the day to smoke.
That's something we got to do this summer.
What's that?
Have people take a few pictures of their...
Yeah, bring back the outdoor cooking and everything that we had them posting last summer. I'll tell you what, there were some very good things being posted.
Yeah.
And
I just smoking a beef roast tomorrow. I'm on the road and be over in Indianapolis, but that sounds good.
Oh yeah.
Is that?
Oh yeah.
Everybody get bored for a second. RH, is that a chuck roast or a shoulder? He hasn't answered yet, so we'll see.
But yeah, last year, I mean, it was great to see the interaction, but not only was it great to see the interaction with the posts and the items being posted up, it was giving people different ideas of things they may not have thought to try, or seeing it and going, man, that looks delicious. I got to try it. And it just kind of had this domino effect. It was really cool to see all that stuff.
Yep. RH says it's a shoulder. Shoulders generally do better smoked than a chuck roast. Yeah.
Yep. That's going to come out nice and juicy, tender, and full of flavor.
I'm hungry already.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if I had a piece like that, I'd be smoking that and shredding it. Oh, man, I got to quit talking about that.
Yeah, but we gotta revive the...
The smoking and outdoor cooking.
Yes.
And I know we're into that time, because ORH, he's already been out there. He's done a few posts already, and right now they're just on his timeline. But I know last year when we were in the thick of it, he was sharing them over to the Beyond Sight and Sound group too. He was
sharing them, and we had a lot of people posting stuff up all over.
Yeah, absolutely. You were posting. I was posting. Anybody
complaining about the pictures of food either.
Yeah. You were posting. I was posting. Bill, Mike Boyles, he was posting. Yeah, Mike.
Big time.
Oh, the name escapes me right off the top of my head, so I apologize for not recalling the name. I believe his first name might have been Dan. Either way, he was a member of the Metal Detecting Beyond Sight and Sound group. And I didn't recognize the name when I first seen him post some, I think it was pork shoulders that he had smoked. And I clicked on the name. He had been in the group for probably a year or more prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
And once we started doing the outdoor cooking and smoking posts up on the group, I saw more activity out of him in that short time that we were doing that than he had his entire time in the group before that. You just got a hit on the right thing. And the stuff he was posting up was absolutely phenomenal.
Oh boy. Pamela says they're building a small smokehouse.
Oh, yeah.
Get those hams out there.
Do like me a good smoked ham.
Me too.
You can't beat it. And we did see some interesting posts out of all of that too. I mean, I'm not talking just meat. I mean, we saw smoked mac and cheese. We saw smoked baked potatoes. We saw smoked baked beans. Smoked bacon wrapped pickles.
Yeah, you guys were doing the pickle thing.
Yeah. They were good. If I get the
Bacon makes everything better.
Well, if I can find the time to do it this summer and the audacity to go after it, because I can just feel my arteries clogging thinking about it. A bacon wrapped cheese stuffed meatloaf. Ooh. Smoked.
Now we got forced in the group. We got shrimp gumbo, shrimp jambalaya, shrimp scampi. Cat addicts, he's salivating. So brisket. We got everybody thinking. We might have to sponsor the best picture of something here. I'll be working on that in my mind, and we'll do something up a little later in the summer.
And there were some people that couldn't see the correlation of all of these posts coming into the group.
We're hungry.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Major course.
No, how to eat.
What the heck?
Yeah, diggers know how to eat, and we like to eat good, and that is reflected in some of the posts that we saw.
You want to see people eat? Go down to a firehouse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that too.
And our boys can cook.
So oh, yeah.
We used to do a dinner once a year for the town, and it was a steak fry, and we could serve up to 600, and we were sold out almost 9 straight years. But with the price of beef going up.
And probably sold out quick.
It did. It did. Yeah. And I mean, we had
price of beef. Price of beef just kind of, it got a little too out of reach.
We couldn't. We were doing fillets. And we were getting the fillets from the Illinois State Farms, and the farms were ran by inmates. That fillet, if we ordered it, they'd sell it to us, and was a fundraiser for us. And then the state decided no longer to run the farms. They could eat tofu. Fact. They can have all the tofu they want to feed those guys. I'm sorry. I don't like tofu.
I kind of thought that before, but now I'm almost certain there just ain't something right about the state of Illinois.
Nope. And we bought almost that entire year's each year of these fillets. I mean, when we put them on,
wow,
they were 2.5-3 inches thick and about 5 inches in diameter. And
holy cow,
you wouldn't believe they were lined up. They were lined up.
That was a busy, busy time for you guys. So all hands on deck.
It was all hands on deck for a week ahead and a week after, getting it all laid out, put together. And the state coming in, they have to, you know, the food check in and this kind of stuff.
Give the okay.
Give the okay, and then have it, and then all the cleanup afterwards. It was a lot of work, but we did rather well with it for quite a while. But then that kind of stuff. Alan, have a good night.
We'll see you, Alan.
Good stuff. Well, anyway, yeah. I'm going to go hit the hay. I'm up at 4 o'clock in the morning and on the road to Indy.
Yeah, you got quite a drive ahead of you. And I'm sure that you'll be doing some go lives and stuff for people that would be interested in seeing that.
I hope I can get the pipe and drum corps walking the halls playing. See if I can get you a little of that. They're pretty good over there.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
See if I can get it.
Absolutely.
The time schedule when they're out playing, because they play quite a bit through that. And let's see, we had the Chicago group there, and we've had Indianapolis's and Cincinnati's. They kind of half compete in there a little bit, so it's kind of fun. See if I can catch them.
Right.
Yeah. Mark,
thanks for dropping in there with us for a little bit. And Mark says hopefully safe travels.
Yeah. Mark says he had a good show. Now he's hungry.
Right? Yeah. Now we got to go hit the fridge.
Yep.
All right. Well, you have
fun, but the daytime's a lot of working and talking and meeting with different guys on different stuff. But the evenings can be entertaining. So y'all have a great night.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. We'll see, Chuck.
Yeah, buddy.
Okay. So, yeah, stay tuned to Chuck's timeline if you're interested in seeing the sort of things that go on at the FDICs. In the past years, he has he's shared some interesting clips. I'll put it that way. So that's definitely something to keep an eye out for. And like I said earlier, good job to Frank on his auctions. We have been talking for a while about maybe taking one live stream one night somewhere here in the future and maybe trying to auction off some items, especially if you're into railroad memorabilia, stuff like that. I know we've got some old, actually, I think I've got quite a number of railroad tickets that are 100, maybe even 100+ years old. I know I've got one from the 1890s. Watch fobs, tokens, who knows? But if people are interested in something like that, we may give that a go and see how that goes. I don't know. Could be interesting, though. We'll see. If that's something that people are interested in, shoot me a message. Leave a comment. We'll see what we can do. And maybe I can even post up, like if we do that, maybe I can even post up ahead of time with some photos of some of the items to be auctioned off. That way you can get an idea of what is involved, what will be up for grabs. And I'm sure, I would say it's pretty safe to say I should be able to set up a remote camera so that you can see the item, the actual item, on camera as people are bidding on it, if they're interested in that sort of thing. We'll see. I mean, if there's no interest in it, well, who knows? Maybe we'll just keep a hold of it. Some of this stuff will look nice in someone's collection. And may even be nice for prizes or something like that. I think there may even be a couple of old watch fobs in there, too. Matter of fact, I can think of one specifically that's a, 1926, I believe. So, interesting. We'll just have to see. Either way, and one other thing as we roll on out, there is a possibility maybe somewhere around, hopefully we can make a call on that somewhere around July, after the first of the year, we may be letting the audio side of the podcast and the distribution that we have built for years with that going to the wayside and sticking with the video live streams, if that's what people are interested in. Something to think about. Until the next one, hit the fridge. Time for a snack. If you're hungry, get out and try to find a bucket lister if you can. Stay warm, stay safe. Safe travels to Chuck. Congrats to Ronnie on his semi-retirement. We're out of here.
We sure are glad you found us here tonight. Thanks for dropping by and joining in. If you like metal detecting, treasure hunting, gold prospecting, or even entertaining discussion, check us out Wednesdays and Sundays, 8 p.m. Eastern, on your favorite podcast distribution services.